Good morning. So I hope you all rested well and you're feeling relaxed and alert and ready to practice. And if you're not, I hope you can make space for whatever is happening for you right now. So just meeting your experience with kind curiosity rather than struggling with it. And for myself, I woke up this morning feeling quite delighted. Just hearing the sounds of the birds and seeing that rosy glow on the mountains this morning and knowing that I have a whole week to be here with all of you on retreat together. How amazing. What good fortune. So this morning we're going to start exploring the practice of insight meditation, or Vipassana, to use the Pali word. And as I may have mentioned last night, Vipassana means seeing clearly, understanding our experience with wisdom, so that we can live our lives in ways that reduce stress and distress and suffering, and instead cultivate ease and happiness and peace and freedom. So again, this is a very brief description of the practice. And we don't have to get all of it at once. So, as I said last night, we're on a journey here. We're following a path, the Noble Eightfold Path, and I'll be unfolding that through the retreat. But for now, just to emphasize that like any journey, our progress happens gradually, happens in stages. And every stage of this development of insight is grounded in mindfulness. And there are a lot of nuances to this term, mindfulness. But as a simple definition to begin with, it's about being able to know what we're experiencing as we're experiencing it, and to know that we know. And that knowing is non-judgmental, non-reactive. It simply opens to whatever is happening, without getting entangled in our usual habits of liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting. So, easy to say, not so easy to actually do. So not many of us at the start of a retreat can just tell ourselves, okay, I'm going to be mindful now, continuously, moment to moment for the next 7 days, without getting lost in any way, even for a moment or two. And this is because most of us have pretty deeply ingrained habits of not being mindful. So it takes practice to develop this awareness. But over time, it does become more and more our default setting, and it takes less effort to be able to stay present with whatever's happening in our hearts and minds. So I can't emphasize enough that this is a training. It's a gradual development. And we start with very simple aspects of our experience and then slowly open up to bring in more and more complex aspects, such as thoughts and emotions, until gradually we're able to include every aspect of our lives. Nothing is left out. So this is the gradual training that's laid out in the Satipatthana Sutta, usually translated into English as the four foundations of mindfulness, or the four establishments of mindfulness. And all the different types of meditation that we're doing here come from this key text. So there are many different practices laid out in this sutta, and all of them are different ways of cultivating mindfulness in relation to different aspects of our experience. So just a little bit more about what mindfulness means in this context. Sati is the Pali word. And sometimes it's useful to bring in these Pali words because they have more nuances than the single words that they're often translated into in English. So sometimes the English words lose some of the subtlety. And this word mindfulness, as I'm sure you all know, is so mainstream these days that it's important, I think, to keep in mind here that sati has a few different aspects to highlight. It can literally be translated as remembering, but not remembering the past, remembering to be present. And another word for remembering is recollecting or recollecting. So there's that sense of gathering our awareness, gathering our attention, bringing it back together, bringing the mind back from its habitual tendency to be scattered and distracted, so that instead it becomes collected, complete, whole. And this is the full aspect of mindfulness. So for example, in relation to mindfulness of breathing, the English monk Ajahn Suchito talks about letting the breath fill the mind so there's no room for anything else. So in this context, it's important to keep in mind that we're practicing mindfulness in the service of wisdom. So we can see clearly what's going on in our experience. We can see clearly where, when, how and why we get caught up in reactivity, clinging and resisting. And then we can see clearly how to release that clinging and resisting and instead experience peace. So sati is the capacity to stay present with our immediate experience instead of getting lost in thoughts about it. And again, if I was to say to you, okay, let's just be mindful now for the rest of the retreat, how long do you think it might be before your mind disconnects? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? 30 seconds? Yeah, that's normal and natural. And that's because we need another quality of mind to support the sati, the mindfulness. And that quality is known in Pali as samadhi. And this is the mind that is stable, steady, non-distracted, unwavering or unified. And those of you who are familiar with these terms, samadhi is often translated as concentration, but I try to avoid that word because in English, concentration sounds like sort of forced, fixed, fixated focus on experience. And if we think in those terms, then it tends to make the mind tight and tense, which actually gets in the way of true samadhi. Samadhi is actually a relaxed and steady presence of mind. It's unified, stable, steady, rather than fragmented and distracted. So in order to develop clear seeing insight, we need both sati or mindfulness and samadhi or steadiness working together to support each other. And in the discourses, there's a common image that's used of two hands washing each other, sati and samadhi working together. And we can see from that simple image that for the practice to be most effective, we really need both. Unfortunately, though, for most of us, the conditions of ordinary life don't support this steadiness of mind. Quite the opposite. Most of us are pushed into multitasking and overstimulation and habitual distractedness. So when we sit down to meditate, we often find that our minds are just all over the place, jumpy, agitated, restless, scattered. So we need again to train in developing sati and samadhi together. And usually we start this process of settling and steadying the mind by bringing awareness to the breath. So we use the breath as what we call our anchor or our primary object. And we just keep returning the attention to that whenever the mind has wandered. And that process of gently returning, returning, returning to the same place is what strengthens the samadhi, the stability. So the breath has a lot of benefits as a meditation object. One, it's always there as long as we're alive. It's available to us as a meditation object. So we can practice mindfulness of breathing anywhere, under any circumstances. So even right now, as you're listening to me, most of your attention might be on the words and the ideas, but some part of you can stay connected in the background to that knowing of breathing in and breathing out. The second benefit of the breath is that it's always in the present moment. Sensations of the breath are only ever happening now. 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 In this moment. Unlike the mind, which is often lost in the past or fantasizing about the future. So bringing the mind, the attention back to the breath automatically reconnects us with the present moment. And as we get used to being in the present moment, we start to recognize very directly that not being present is stressful. Whereas coming home to the simple physical experience of the breath reconnects us with present moment experience. And we can start to notice that there's actually a subtle pleasantness in being present. So as one teacher recently described it, this is the gift or the present of being present. So we can tune into that pleasantness and it sets up a positive feedback loop that makes the mind more want to stay there. Now the third benefit of the breath is it has a rhythm to it. It flows in and out. It's constantly changing in quite subtle ways. And that makes it easier to pay attention to than something that's static. And then lastly, the breath for most people is relatively calming. So the more we can stay steady and present to the breath, usually the quieter the mind gets. And most of the time, just inviting the attention to connect with breathing helps the mind become less agitated. And when the mind is less agitated, the body can settle more fully, which in turn allows the mind to calm down even more. So right there is an important insight, the interconnection between body and mind. The stilling of the body supports the stilling of the mind, supports the stilling of the body. In the beginning, though, we often see that process in reverse. So if we come into meditation and we think we're supposed to be calm and we sit here trying to get more calm and it's not happening and there's judgment, the body gets tense and tight, the mind gets tense and tight, the body gets more reactive and it sets up a negative feedback loop. So just gently inviting and allowing the body to settle, inviting the attention to keep coming back to the breath, helps it relax, the mind softens, and then sati and samadhi work together to support us dropping down into a more steady and at times effortless connection with breathing, which is deeply nourishing for the nervous system. And this just takes time, so we're in that process and I'd like to begin that now. Okay.